At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's been 30 years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM and affiliates across the country. We are also on myjoyonline.com, on X Spaces, on Facebook and on YouTube. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, illegal mining activities pushes Ghana Water Company and Gridco to demand higher tariffs as 8 utility companies, including ECG and VRA, submit proposals for significant increases to PLC, leaving consumers' fate hanging in the balance. Meanwhile, the CD, which is also one of the main drivers of the tariff hike request, has crossed the 12 Ghana cedi to the dollar for the first time in 4 months as remittances slow and imports demand rises. Also coming up, retired Supreme Court Judge William Matuguba says the MPP lacks the moral authority to criticize the removal of the Chief Justice, arguing that if the president's action is indeed payback, then it is a justified one.
Payback is something that cannot be justified. That's payback. But if it is justified, where's the payback? Or if it's a payback, it's correct payback.
Mubarak will bring us the spot.
And the Black Stars edge closer to the 2026 World Cup after crucial win over Mali.
And we'll also find out how Ghana's economy will fare following the U.S. government's backlisting from the Millennium Challenge Compact benefits for the year 2026. And Beriri Mediation Committee to liaise with Red Cross and NADMO in ensuring that persons displaced by conflicts in parts of the Savannah region return to their communities.
How do we support the Red Cross and partners to evacuate all of them back as they come back and integrated in a peaceful environment for coexistence as they used to?
We'll take you live to the ground where reports indicate that calm has returned with dialogue and peace talks set to begin today.
For well over a week now, the place has been very calm. We are not recording any incident whatsoever. And I'm praying that the proposed meeting like would further brighten that opportunity.
I am Hannah Odami. I'll bring you details of these headlines and more in this bulletin. Thanks for choosing us. We are Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Now this afternoon, the fight against illegal mining, or galamsey, is spilling over into the pockets of consumers as major utility providers press for higher tariffs. Both the Ghana Water Company and Ghana Grid Company say the destruction of water bodies and the rising cost of maintaining power infrastructure have eroded their revenues, leaving them with no choice but to request tariff adjustments. They are among 8 state utilities, including the Electricity Company of Ghana and the Volta River Authority, that have submitted proposals for significant increases to the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission for the 2025 to 2029 tariff period. Now, the utilities argue that soaring operational costs, city depreciation and environmental damage from galamsey are making their operations unsustainable without higher tariffs.
When the ES was speaking, he said something about the Ghana water tariff proposal being higher than most of the utilities. We have an issue at hand and everybody knows what it is, and that is galamsey. Because of galamsey, the Ghana Water Company has a lot of issues with the water that they have to process for us to use. And yesterday I said something. I said that in no time Ghana will be water poor. Water poor where water might be imported. And in that stead, we will create vulnerabilities for the vulnerable because the poor cannot buy water from abroad. So as the media, I think it is time for us, all of us, to come together.
Well, at a stakeholder forum organized by the PURC is Joy News data analyst Kofi Ejeh, who joins us live on the line with some more. Now, Kofi, what other arguments do these companies put forth for their demand for the higher tariffs? We are sorry, Kofi Ejeh is off the line, but we are trying to reconnect with him. We just heard Nanaya Ajantua, she was formerly with the PRC, arguing for the utility companies to have some higher tariffs because, according to them, Galamsey is affecting their operations. And we know that they have said it is spilling over into the pockets of consumers. We'll try to get Kofi Ejeh, who is currently back on the line with us. So, Kofi, we heard what Nanaya Ajantua said. What other arguments did the companies put forth for their demand for the higher tariffs?
Well, so, Hannah, we are expecting 8 utility companies to present or to make their proposal. Currently, we have 2 that have presented so far. So first was the VRA, and there's also GridCode has presented. And on, the Ghana Water Company, the indication was given by the chairman of the stakeholder committee, Nanaya Ajantua, who said that if you look at all 8 utility companies that have submitted their proposals so far, it looks like the Ghana Water Company has the highest request so far because of the issue of Galamsey. So we have been checking the numbers, and in terms of how much Ghana Water Company needs to even buy chemicals this year, we are looking at somewhere around 336 million Ghana cedis. If you compare that to how much they used to spend in 2022, we've seen a more than 200% increment in their request or the budget for the purchase of chemicals. We are all expecting ECG to actually do their presentation. They are the next company to do their presentation, but we understand that ECG is asking for tariff adjustments or an increment in their distribution charge of 224.6%, mainly because of below industry benchmark, which they say that if you look at how much this, their distribution costs contribute to the entire tariff, just about 11%. If you look at the sub-region, everybody is doing somewhere around 30%, and so they are below that benchmark. City depreciation is one key aspect, and then also the fact that they have already spent $408 million, dollars to upgrade their network lines and also smart meters. So the main focus here is the Ghana Water Company, which according to the committee has the highest tariff as a result of illegal mining, which is forcing them to budget close to about 334 million, Ghana cedis for chemicals.
So even though you indicated that the presentations are ongoing, have you had any response from the PRC so far?
Well, the PRC hasn't given any indication yet. According to them, this is the opportunity for the utility companies to make their proposals. They will go and have a look at all the proposals and come out with the approved tariff. But so far, what we know is that it is the utility companies that are taking turns to present their proposal. Okay. But the indication we are getting from the PRC is that this is the proposal stage. After all 8 companies are done with their presentation, they will look at the numbers, try and look at all the indicators, and come out with a final proposal.
All right.
And we also understand that this is the major tariff adjustment, which is a structural benchmark in the IMF program. The IMF will be in town, so we need to meet this before the 5th review.
Thank you very much. We have the Isaac Kofi Ejeh. He is a Joy News data analyst. Now, moving on, one of the reasons for which the utility companies are pressing for the higher tariffs is the depreciation of the cedi. It has now weakened past the 12 Ghana cedi mark to the US dollar for the first time since May, after 3 months of relative stability. The sudden slip makes it one of the worst performing African currencies in the third quarter of the year 2025. Now, Joy News checks point to a slowdown in remittance inflows, heavy import demand, and reduced intervention by the Bank of Ghana as the main drivers. So my colleague, Caleb Ziblim, who joins me in the studio for more on the recent depreciation. But first, listen to this news desk reports on the current forex operations and how it is impacting the city.
One of the major drivers of the current pressure on the city has been market liquidity. Because the market wasn't witnessing any trade, the development has also fueled reports of dollar shortage feeding into activities of speculators. That is why for some, a pickup in liquidity may come across as good news. The development has been influenced by improved dollar support over the past days compared to previous weeks that the Bank of Ghana was not on the market in terms of dollar support. For instance, at the close of last week, some $10 million were traded on the interbank market. However, for some commercial banks, they have told Joy Business that the supply on the market is still not enough to deal with the current demand pressures. But for some, now that the Bank of Ghana's rates have crossed 12 Ghana cedis to a dollar, and if President John Mahama's comment about the target range for the local currency was about 10 to 12 Ghana cedis, then maybe the Bank of Ghana may now be forced to up its dollar intervention to try and deal with the recent pressures on the Ghana cedi.
And that was a business desk report. Now, my colleague Caleb Ziblim is in the studio with me. So what's really behind the sudden fall of the cedi after months of stability?
Yes, Hannah, so the external picture hasn't changed that much. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's favorable for Ghana because gold prices are at record highs. The dollar is still kind of weak, and also the U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to cut their interest rates very soon. So normally this means that the city is supposed to perform well.
Yeah.
But then the pressure is more domestic. So remittances, as you said, is one of Ghana's most, one of Ghana's main sources of dollars into the country, and that has slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
So when the city appreciated rapidly, if you send $100 to Ghana, you get about 1,500 cedis. But after that, if you send the same $100, mm-hmm. you get just 1,000 cedis.
Mm.
So most people sending money to Ghana for projects and all of that slowed down, decided to wait that if the cedi depreciates again,
yeah.
they can send a few dollars and still get what they were doing before the cedi appreciated. So that's one of the main reasons why dollar inflows have slowed down.
Okay.
And aside that, imports have also gone up. Because the cedi was doing very strong, people decided to import their goods ahead of December in the festive season. And that put pressure on the Bank of Ghana. So these two main factors, remittances and increased imports.
Yeah, that's true, because we are already in September.
Yeah.
But how about the Bank of Ghana's intervention in the forex market? How did that help?
Okay, so well, we can't say for certain though, but the Bank of Ghana seems to have slowed down its dollar interventions. Because in just the first 3 months of this year, they intervened with $1.4 billion. And then when the IMF came to town, they raised red flags and they told the BOG to put brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the BOG at the time agreed that by September, at the end of September 2025, they will come out with a policy on how they're going to intervene in the market. And we just entered September.
Yeah.
So the indication is that the BOG is testing this new policy before the end of September. And we know at the end of September too again, the IMF will be in town again. So the BOG might be testing this new system before its full rollout at the end of September 2025.
Okay.
And also, while the cedi was trading around 10 cedis, 30 pesos to $1, in the forex markets or in the forex bureaus, was trading consistently from 11 to 12 cedis. Now, this mismatch, you could also say that the BOG is trying to close the divergence, so allowing some intentional depreciation.
Thank you very much for that update, Caleb Ziblim there. Now, how will Ghana's economy fare after the U.S. blacklisted a country, excluding it from receiving funding supports from the Millennium Challenge Corporation for the 2026 financial year? The decision announced in the MCC's Candidate Country Report cites Ghana's ongoing debt default and pending restructuring agreements under U.S. law. In the year 2006, Ghana received $547 million from the MCC to boost agriculture and infrastructure, followed by another $315.9 million in the year 2014 for the energy sector reforms. So what exactly is the weight of decision by the U.S. government in Ghana? Let's bring in the professor, Peter Korte, who is a director of the Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research at the University of Ghana, for more on this. So thank you so much for joining us on the Midday News. Prof, what does the decision mean for Ghana, especially how, given how much the country has benefited from the previous MCCs?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good afternoon to your discerning listeners. I'm the immediate past director of ITHA. I'm currently a professor of ITHA at ITHA. This decision or this policy is certainly going to affect us. In the sense that if you look at the past, we have received enormous benefits from the U.S. government, the N1 motorway, in the energy sector, a lot of revamping of our equipment, substations, and many other support. So if we miss out on this, it means we're going to basically suffer the negative consequence of not having such a grant to operate with.
Okay, but then how will this be damaging for the economy? Because we are looking at this. Is it mainly the loss of funding, or does it also undermine investor confidence?
Well, it's not an investor confidence issue. The main issue is that we reported in our loan repayment, and there was a debt exchange program, and they were to conclude on this debt exchange program. We have not concluded finally on this, and therefore the U.S. law, foreign policy applies. That is why we are not eligible. But hopefully by next year, we'll have concluded all these negotiations and then be able to tap into these external resources. But it's also a lesson to us not to mess up our economy, not to borrow and not repay. We should also learn from what has happened, not to be aid dependent, because if we have been so dependent on this money, I believe it will have severe repercussions on Ghana.
Okay. Thank you very much there, Professor Peter Korte. He's director of the Institute for Statistical, Social and Economic Research at the University of Ghana. Now, retired Supreme Court Judge Justice William Atuguba has questioned the New Patriotic Party's moral right to criticize the removal of Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo. Speaking in an interview with Joy News, Justice Atuguba argued the NPP set a precedent in its own dealings with the judiciary in the past, and therefore cannot accuse the president of political interference. According to him, if the president's decision to remove the chief justice is intended as political payback, then it can be considered a justified response. His comments come in the wake of intense political controversy following the Article 146 committee's recommendation and the president's subsequent decision to remove the chief justice from office. Now, while the MPP has described the action as a dangerous precedent that undermines judicial independence, supporters of the president insist it is within his constitutional mandate. He spoke to my colleague Elton Brube in a yet-to-be-heard interview on The Pulse.
It is the politics that has harmed this country very gravely. Why should somebody have that mindset? Somebody has been removed, therefore when we come with mass, irrespective of the merits.
Yes, they said that the NDC says they, before coming to power, that they were going to restore the judiciary.
Yes.
And so this is politically motivated rather than, you know, a case of...
Let us be a bit serious here. Look, when the parties are contesting for election, don't they have their manifestos as to what they will come and do when elected into power? So when they are elected and they are implementing the manifesto, what's wrong with it? That is premeditated. And it's endorsed by the voters, and they are implementing it. You mean somebody should just come to power without, you know, any program for running the country? The important question is not when. I remember before the elections, I used to say here that the judiciary needed restructuring. And after the election, I said it.
So the NDC and the MPP's position, or some elements of the MPP, the position they've taken,
yes,
that they will push their leadership to do same to any future chief justice. You say that it will do what to the judiciary?
I mean, this type of thing, is it commendable? That means they'll do it irrespective of the performance of the next chief justice. That's the mindset of some of these politicians. Don't you see it? Huh? Some don't care. It's just the power they want and their way. They must have their way. whether black or red, you appoint some people who are politically aligned to say EC or something, there's public outcry, nothing happens. Some people feel that that's how to exercise power, and they do it. So I'm not surprised that people can talk like that.
Should we have maybe beyond what Article 146 says?
Yes.
Should there be legislation to guide the process? Some are suggesting that stated misbehavior is too broad. It doesn't really respond to a specific matter. What is your recommendation in this direction? That the Constitution is not so clear, and at what circumstances somebody can be labeled to have misconducted him or herself?
Don't forget that Charlotte Ose and Church Commissioner, one lady, I forgot her name.
Madam Lamptey.
I mean, it's under the same provisions.
Now, this interview with Justice Atuguba will air on The Pulse at 3 p.m. today on the Joy News channel. That's where we take a short break. And when we come back, Bariri Mediation Committee to liaise with Red Cross and NADMO in ensuring the persons displaced by conflicts in parts of the Savannah region return to their communities.
How do we support the Red Cross and partners to evacuate all of them back as they come back and integrated in a peaceful environment for coexistence as they used to?
Well, Mubarak is here and he brings us the sports. What's the latest?
Yes, Hannah. So, did you watch the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Black Stars.
I have a question for you after you are done.
Okay. Well, but obviously Ghana defeated Mali by a goal to nil, and they now lead Group I by 3 points and just need four more to guarantee qualification, with two decisive games in October against the Central African Republic and Comoros. But head coach Otuado insists the job isn't done yet.
Now to you again to warn everybody to think we have already gone to the World Cup. It's not like that. We have to give the same effort like today to beat Central African Republic. If we don't do this, it's a big problem. And if everybody thinks we are already gone, no, we are not done yet. We have a lot of work to do, you know, a lot of work. It's going to be very, very difficult, very, very hard. But I think if, with the right thinking, with the right mentality, we will get there.
Yeah, so that's the head coach of the Black Stars, Otuado. So what's your question?
Yes, but then he says we have a lot of work. Is it what I'm thinking about? It's quite puzzling. We won, but we are on top of the group. Yes, we haven't qualified.
Yes. Okay, Hannah, what you probably have to understand is that Africa has 9 automatic slots to the World Cup. And so any group winner qualifies automatically to the World Cup. And at the moment, we are top of Group I, but we have 2 games remaining. And the team behind us is Madagascar. We are leading them by 3 points. So we have to, at the very least, take 4 of the 6 points remaining from the 2 games to guarantee qualification.
It's still a bit puzzling, but kindly try to explain that to us on my joyline.com so that we go read it there. Let's go to the Savannah region, where the mediation team set up by the Interior Minister to dialogue on peace processes in Bengiri is ensuring the persons who were displaced by the conflict are properly reintegrated into their communities and their livelihoods. The 7-member team have been tasked to provide a peace roadmap, the dialogue on a peace process, among others. Explaining further on the AM show on the Joy News channel, chairman of the committee, who is also a peace building expert, Emmanuel Bombardi, noted they intend to ultimately aid all the displaced persons to return.
Whereas we saw some of them returning, logistics could be a hindrance. Another could be the fear of what awaits them when they return. But the return of these refugees in itself, we think would build the initial confidence that now makes it possible for people to be invested in talking deeply about the issues that led to this unfortunate tragedy. Okay. Because we cannot be in a process of dialogue when people are displaced. So the receptacle at this point to provide humanitarian aid, to provide support, would be in the camp for those who cannot easily get back right into their homes and into their communities.
Well, so far, official figures indicate that more than 50,000 people were displaced, with at least 13,000 of them fleeing to neighboring countries and communities. The violence has also claimed 31 lives, and the Interior Minister, Mohamed Muntaka Mubarak, however, indicates about 65% of those who were displaced have now returned safely to their communities. And the Savannah Regional Minister, Salisu B. Arube, is hopeful that a calm currently being experienced in the community will be maintained.
For well over a week now, the place has been very calm. We are not recording any incident whatsoever. And indeed, the various people who hitherto deserted their communities, some of them are gradually returning. And this actually was facilitated when the people's leadership, led by their youth association leadership and then their council of elders, called on the Yebunwura, and the Yebunwura actually made his one of his paramount chiefs, the Damagora, and some other leaders to meet them.